Hi everyone, my name is Feng and I serve in the youth team. I wonder if you have ever been in a situation where you felt absolutely hopeless or helpless. Well, I have. When I was 20 years old, I went abroad to the US to study. I was really excited and was so ready to see what God has in store for me on the other side. I was ready to change the world. I said my goodbyes, you know, I boarded the plane and I took a 30-hour flight to the US. However, when I arrived there, one of my luggage didn't arrive. The staff of the airline assured me, "Oh, don't worry, sir, you'll arrive tomorrow and we will send it over to you." So I waited and waited and waited. And finally, they called me just to tell me they lost my bag. I was like, oh no. My mind went blank and I was just thinking, oh dear, it's my first time abroad. God, why have you forsaken me? Why is this happening to me? So I prayed and I called the airlines every day to track down my bag, but to no avail. I was told to file a report and they would try to compensate me. I was not really sad that, you know, my Maggi noodles, you know, my sauces, my bak kut teh packets were lost, but I was extremely devastated that my security blanket was lost for good. Well, my security blanket, maybe to you is a bantal busok, or maybe to you is a chocho, but to me, it was something that I had for a long time. Well, the amount of time that I spent with it to make it smell so heavenly. So I prayed and I fasted, but after 10 days, I, you know, come to terms with it that it is gone forever. But on the 11th day, I heard this. Oh, I went to the door. I saw my red big luggage at the door. I promised at that time, I thought the angel of the Lord brought it to me until the airline called me and said, oh no, we delivered your bag for you, Mr. Lim. So I was really happy. I brought the bag. I opened it immediately and I checked. Yes, my blanket is in there. It was a sweet reunion. And truly, the song came to me, reunited, and it feels so good. What I hoped for became reality. Well, I wonder if you're hoping for something today, and it seems like the hope is bleak, just like my lost bag story. Maybe it's your hope for your family's salvation, or the restoration of a relationship or a marriage. Or it could be a better opportunity for your job or healing. Well, I want to encourage us today to not give up hope. The title of my sermon today is Hope. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that you are speaking to us right now. And I pray that this word will bring us hope. A hope that comes from you and you only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there was also a time in the Bible when the kingdom of Judah lost all hope. The people of Israel and Judah, they were the ones who were chosen by God to bring salvation to the world. He chose their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and blessed them and multiplied them. God gave them favor and victory in the things that they did. God delivered them time and time again when they were enslaved and oppressed by others. God provided for them when they were in the wilderness and even gave them a land of their own, a land described as flowing with milk and honey. They were close to God and they followed God. However, when they prospered, they started to turn away from God. They engaged in idolatry. They oppressed the widows, the orphans, and the foreigners. And even after many calls to repentance, they refused to. Because they turned away from God, God allowed judgment to come upon them. They wanted evil kings to rule them, and God let them. God, he was heartbroken because he wanted to be in a relationship with them. But the people of Judah looked toward Egypt and Babylon for hope, for help. And so God couldn't be in a relationship with them. And because of all this, God, He turned His face from them, and evil nations attacked Israel and Judah. And when this happened, they lost all hope. Then God spoke through a prophet named Jeremiah. God spoke about the judgment that He will bring upon Judah, the besiege and destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon, and the exile of the people to Babylon. However, in the midst of the prophecies of chaos and destructions in the book of Jeremiah, God spoke hope in the form of a new covenant, a new promise, just like light shining into darkness. In Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 34, the Bible says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." This is the word of the Lord. You see, when all hope seemed to be lost, when the God of heavens and the earth, Yahweh, pronounced judgment, it seems like everything is over. Because the people of Judah, they had seen and they have heard of what God is capable of through their deliverance in Egypt, and how God gave them victory in the land of Canaan over their enemies. They know that if the Almighty God does what He said He'd do to them, they are nothing but dead meat. But the Lord, He is merciful, and He wouldn't let them be in exile and in pain forever. Though judgment is necessary for what they had done, God promised a new covenant, giving them hope. So my first point is, there is hope. I am an Arsenal Football Club fan. Come on, you Gunners! If you're 1-2, you probably know what I'm talking about. Well, after every disappointing season, we tell ourselves, "Oh, whatever, man, we don't care anymore." But when it comes to a new season, we get excited, we renew our love and hope for the club, and believe that this will be the season that we take home the English Premier League trophy. Similarly, God's love for us is relentless, just like my love for Arsenal. Therefore, God gives us hope because of His love. Even in Judah's wickedness and disobedience, God, the righteous and just one, still loved Judah. Though Judah was about to go into one of the darkest times in their history because of their own doings, yet God was not going to abandon them because God loves them. God told them that there comes a time when He will make a new covenant with them, and when He will remember their sins no more. He will begin a relationship with them, as stated, "I will be their God and they will be my people." In another book, the same prophet Jeremiah, who prophesied judgment, states, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." I say to myself, "The Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait from Him." This was taken in Lamentations 3, verse 20, 21 to 24. Therefore, take heart, my friends. There is hope for you. no matter what you're going through, whether it is your own doings that has landed you to where you are today, or simply life that has brought you down, keep trusting God because He loves you. And because of His great love, you are not consumed by your circumstances. His compassion never fails, and they are new every morning. You can depend on the one who is faithful because great is His faithfulness. You can wait on Him and be still before Him. In fact, this passage in Lamentation has been turned into a hymn, which I find myself singing when I'm going through a rough season. Well, in one of the Psalms, King David says this: "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him." In this Psalm 103, verse 8 to 13, we see that the Lord's love for us is immeasurable. He forgives us and has compassion on us. Well, God is not someone who crosses His arm and says, "Ha, you deserve this." He's not a God who takes delight in seeing His children suffer, but He is a Father who loves and knows what is best for us all. So there is hope. And the good news is, which is my second point, that hope is here. In verse 31 and verse 33 of Jeremiah 31, the Lord says He will make a covenant with Israel and Judah. In fact, He will make a new covenant with them. Well, I'd like to introduce us to the concept of covenant during the time of Israel and Judah. The word covenant here is in Hebrew is berit. Berit means to form a relationship. Well, in our modern term, it may take the form of an adoption or a marriage. Well, what if it is not through these two means? In Israel's time, there was another way to do it, and that is to take an oath and form a relationship that both parties agreed to act like family. How is it done then? Well, this process is a little bit bloody, so bear with me, everybody. Well, first, it requires two parties and some ritual animals. The animals have to be cut into two and laid upon the ground, and the agreement of the oath has to be recited while the weaker party walks between the bloodied parts of the animals. Ugh, gory. So the process of making a covenant is literally called cutting a berit. Well, the cutting here has to do with the ritual presentation of the sacrifice animal. What this means is that when the weaker party walks through the halved animals, he is saying, "May what has happened to these animals happen to me if I fail to keep my oath." Ooh, very serious and very scary oath to make, huh? Well, in Genesis, Abraham actually participated in such a covenantal exchange with God. God had made a promise to give Abraham a child many years ago, but he had not done so. And God asked him to bring a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, and a three-year-old ram, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon, and cut them into two except the birds. Well, after this were done, God put Abraham to sleep. And then it came when the sun set that it was very dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and flaming torch which passed through these pieces. I want to ask you a question right now. Did you notice who actually walked through this torn, bloody parts of the sacrificed animals? It was not Abraham, the clearly weaker party in the covenant, but it was God, Yahweh, who walked through the bloody alley. The point that God was making in this action is that God is telling Abraham that He will not fail. God put Himself in a position when making a covenant that he is the one to be faithful in keeping the agreement. So in Jeremiah 31, this new covenant that God was about to make with his people will be the same. He is going to be faithful. But Jeremiah 31 verse 32 says that this is a different kind of covenant, a new covenant. Let's read from Jeremiah 31 verse 32. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. How is it different then? The difference is that this time, Yahweh, God, was going to seal this covenant with the blood of his own Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus' flesh was torn and blood was spilled to seal this covenant. And indeed, this covenant in Jeremiah 31 is fulfilled in the person of Jesus. In Luke 22 verse 20, during the Last Supper, when Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you," he was referring to this new covenant that Jeremiah prophesied. We are in the season of Lent, when we look back and remember what our Savior Jesus had done on the cross. What he had done is to fulfill this covenant. The long-awaited covenant which was prophesied had been fulfilled. Hope is here. And this hope through this covenant is not only available to the people of Israel and Judah, but God himself is inviting you and me to be participants of this covenantal relationship as well. Because of Jesus, indeed, our hope is here. Because Jesus resurrected and lives, this covenant is still effective. God loves us so much, there is hope. And because of Jesus, hope is here. And my third and last point is, hope is eternal. God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah that this covenant is different from the Sinai covenant, the one he made with the Israelites through Moses after he delivered them from Egypt. The stipulation of that covenant, the Ten Commandments, was carved on two stone tablets, and as long as they followed the law, Yahweh will be their God. This covenant, however, is different because this time Yahweh is going to put the law in their minds and hearts of the people whom he is making the covenant with. It doesn't take place on stone. Let's read again from Jeremiah 31. In verse 33, "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." This new covenant represents a new relationship that God will have with his people, and it is an eternal one. The law is no longer inscribed on physical tablets of stone, but on their hearts, making the law a constituent part of a person. Therefore, whoever that enters into this covenant is in fact entering into a relationship with God, an eternal relationship. And this relationship offers a hope that is also eternal. When one enters into this relationship, he or she no longer needs to be instructed to know God. Instead, these laws will take residence in their hearts, and they will want to know God and obey him. It is like how a baby naturally cries to be held by their parents. You know, we don't need to be instructed to love them, to nurse them, but we just do. And as mentioned earlier, this covenant has taken place through life, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. This relationship is offered to us today through Jesus. maybe some of us here do not know this God who loves you and offers you this relationship and hope. I wonder if you'd like to give this relationship a go. You can freely enter into this covenantal relationship. Let Him be your God. Know Him, know His love, and know this hope. God promises that when we enter into this relationship, this covenantal relationship with Him, He will forgive our wickedness and remember our sins no more. The Bible in Romans 6 verse 23 states that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, we have eternal life when we enter into this relationship with Him. We have eternal life and eternal hope. We can know where we will go after this life, and we can say with confidence that we have hope. Well, in the year 2005, a 21-year-old man named Andrew Chan from Australia smuggled drugs into Bali, Indonesia, and he was arrested at the airport. During the trial, Andrew Chan and a few others were sentenced to death, waiting for execution. During his time in the Kerobokan prison, Andrew found Jesus through people who ministered to the prisoners. Not only did Andrew become a Christian, but he went on to study the Word of God and even got a certificate from a seminary, and he started serving as a pastor and ministering to the other inmates in the prison. Andrew was a changed man, and even the prison guards vouched for him and said that he was a model prisoner. And they hope that as he appeals before the judge for a request to be pardoned from a death sentence, his appeal will be successful. However, his appeal was rejected and his execution was set to take place. In an interview, when asked, how did Andrew reconcile his death sentence and his faith in God? Andrew said, when I got back to my cell, I said, God, I ask you to set me free, not kill me. God spoke to me and said, Andrew, I have set you free from the inside out. I have given you life. From that moment on, I haven't stopped worshiping Him. I had never sung before, never led worship until Jesus set me free. And on 29th April 2015, Andrew Chan was executed by firing squad. On his way to the execution ground, Andrew sang Amazing Grace and 10,000 Reasons as he was being executed. He had 10,000 reasons to worship God, even in his last breaths. He looked death in the eyes as he refused to be blindfolded. Though it may seem that Andrew's hope in God was in vain on this earth, as he was not granted the pardon and he was eventually executed. But Andrew Chan, he knew where he was going after this life. He was not afraid of death. He had a relationship with God and he had hope for an eternal life. I wonder if you know this hope today. This hope that you can receive through the death of Jesus on the cross on Good Friday and rose again from the grave on Easter Sunday. This hope that we heard today is freely offered to you now. If you've never entered into a relationship with God, never heard of this hope, I would like to invite you to enter into this covenantal relationship with God who loves you now. If this is you, you can pray this after me. Dear God, I'm sorry for all the things that I've done. I'm sorry for turning away from you. Thank you that you have not turned away from me, but you waited patiently for me to return to you. And thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross and resurrected on the third day. Please come into my heart today so I can have this hope, this eternal hope and eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if today you know of this hope, but perhaps you had given up on this hope, you have left this relationship with God behind, I would like to invite you to re-enter into this relationship once again. God, He's waiting for you, just like a father waiting for his son to come home. Shall we pray? Come, Holy Spirit. We invite you to enter in our hearts today. Restore this hope. Restore this relationship we have with you. And bring us a new hope. A hope that is eternal. A hope that is present through Jesus.